Well, it's our final hour with Dr. Brian Weiss as we talk about his work, Miracles Happen, and we'll take your calls and stories when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Will science make this even easier, Brian, in the future?
I think so, because we'll understand the mechanisms of it, and that will help people to accept it more easily. They won't fight it. It'll be a clinical thing. They'll understand what it is and what it's not, so there won't be the fears, the anxieties, the prejudices, the religions getting in the way. I think we'll understand this as a normal physiological process.
Right before the break, we got the call about he thought he was on the Titanic. Is that possible? Could he have been one of the victims?
It's always possible, because why was he having such strong affinity connections to it when his classmates were not?
That's right.
So the only way to know for sure would be to do regressions and possibly to find out more. I find that his experience with his mother is more common, the sense that they can visit, that there's sometimes a physical feeling that they're present. I was writing about this a lot in the new book because so many people find that comforting. And I'm going to be in Los Angeles doing one of these experiential programs, a full day with the group, just doing regressions in October, at the end of October. And he can find out information about that from the website. And he can, you know, choose to go and have one of these regressions, group regressions, and find out more about the Titanic and maybe even more about his mother. So that's why I keep doing these experiential exercises all over the world. I just want people to have the opportunity to have their own experiences.
You know Dr. Carol Bowman, I assume, right?
Yes, from Philadelphia. You
know, yeah, she deals with the children's past lives.
Yes.
And that I find amazing. Have you regressed a child?
I don't do it as much, because my training was as an adult psychiatrist. I would just see adults. And frequently we've had children brought in by their parents, and the parents will talk about their experiences. But I haven't been working with children. Carol has, and she regressed one of her children, or both of her boys, and others. We sometimes send people to her where we feel that a regression with a child, if the parents are open to it and willing, would help the child or help the family. I haven't worked as much, but sometimes children, they go under very easily. They don't even have to be hypnotized. Just in that, we call it the hypnagogic state, you know, that sleepy state just before falling asleep or just after awakening. And they'll remember spontaneously. You just have to ask, do you remember when you were big? And they're in that relaxed state. And their tales will not always, will sometimes be real, because they can remember. Children remember. Some of the most amazing cases are of children. One was in New York City, where a physician in New York City and his wife had twin boys just under the age of 3, living in Manhattan. And the boys were speaking a language to each other, which seemed like more than the rudimentary language that little children will often make up.
Right.
And they took the boys to Columbia University, to the linguistics department, where it was determined that the boys were speaking Aramaic to each other. These are the kinds of things that are very interesting, because Aramaic is not something you would pluck off television programs. Nobody in their building spoke Aramaic. The parents didn't speak Aramaic. A virtually extinct language still exists in a few remote villages of Syria and that area of the world, but really not in New York City. And there you have a case of xenoglossy again, spontaneously from two boys just under the age of 3 years old.
Okay, to the phones now we go. Let's go to Carol in Los Angeles. Hi, Carol. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Hi, George.
Hi.
And hi, Dr. Weiss.
Hi.
I've been listening to this show for many, many, many years. Anyway, I've had some experiences with what you're talking about. When I was younger, one of my parents would do that with me, and had some good results, the past life regression. I have two questions. One might sound kind of silly, but I've heard it a few times as a theory, that we actually come back and live this very same life over again. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. You know, like maybe to get it right.
Yeah, well, it can be very similar. Sometimes you're presented with many of the same challenges and some of the same people, even though they may be in different bodies. So it may not be exactly the same life, but it can be very similar.
Mm-hmm. It just seems like, I mean, there's when something happens, it just didn't seem like it was meant, sort of like a record that gets scratched and the song's ruined too soon.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you may have been working on the same lesson for a long time.
Right.
And that's okay. That's okay. There's no punishment. It's just all growth and learning. So just keep progressing in the positive way.
Right. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go next to Shane in Woodbridge, Virginia. Hey, Shane, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
Good,
very nice,
Shane,
to talk to you tonight. I was wondering, where does the guest get his information on the reincarnation theories? And could he tie together the different theories? Because it's a little confusing to me about the Hindu theories and the Buddhist theories. And I know there's very Taoist theories. And I recently picked up some books from Edgar Cayce.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Christian, but he believes in the reincarnation theory. And how, with me as being a Christian, how can I embrace that same theory? It's a little confusing to me. Could you explain?
It's not easy.
No, and the theory is just that of rebirth, that you come back, when you die, you come back into another body, a baby's body, because you have to work on your lessons more. You get more than one chance to get it correct. And Edgar Cayce, of course, wrote a lot about reincarnation and past lives. Didn't matter that he was Christian or not Christian, because you're describing a clinical phenomenon. So we could say radio waves, and it may be the church centuries ago would say, radio waves, that's crazy, that's nonsense, you know, can't be. And yet, as a scientist or a clinician, you would say, wait, this is not a religious thing, this is a clinical thing, this is what I'm describing. So for me, my work came out of my clinical practice. I would be working with patients, they would have past life memories, I would describe what they experience and try to find a coherent pattern. Sometimes that fit with the Buddhist or Hindu or early Christian philosophies, certainly in Judaism too. Belief in reincarnation has been around for many centuries. They call it Gilgul HaNefesh. So this is the predominant view in the world if you count up all of those populations. But my approach is the clinical one. So I'm not trying so much to tie together Hindu and Buddhist and early Christian and Jewish and other cultures and religions. I'm not trying to tie that all together. I'm really just trying to describe what I see in my patients and what I see in workshop participants and the commonalities in that, and to then develop this whole sort of the field of past life therapy and seeing how it works, how effective it is, as we were talking earlier, for phobias and physical conditions that may come from past lives. I can tell you that a lot of people that I've done regressions with over these years didn't believe in past lives, but they still have the reincarnational experience. They still remember past lives because it's not about belief. If you try it, you're going to have experiences. And about 80%, as I said, of people can have these past life memories, whether they believe in it or they don't believe in it, as long as they're willing to try it.
Do you still get people who say they lived on Atlantis?
Yes, yes. People have described that, and some well-known people have described that. I look for coherence. Like, if people are describing that, are they describing the same thing? And I think, yes, I think many earlier civilizations did exist. And then, as I find, say, a psychiatrist from Chicago who described Atlantis the same way that an engineer from Purdue University described Atlantis, and they didn't know each other, and they didn't compare, and it didn't come from the Edgar Cayce readings either. They just had memories of it. I also described in a previous book a case that was of Patrick, someone who was like in a migration to the earth about 30 to 60,000 years ago. I forget the exact number of years. And this seems to be something that several people have talked about, that they didn't begin here, they didn't originate here, but they came here in earlier waves of migration and well before modern history.
All right, let's go to our Skype caller near San Diego. Hi, Jackie, go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, this is for your guest.
Uh-huh.
I have your book, Many Lives, Many Masters, and I read it several years ago, and I thought it was so interesting. And like yesterday or today, I was thinking about it, and then I thought of you and what had happened to you, and then here you are on Coast to Coast tonight.
So you're psychic. Oh. You're intuitive. You're getting ready for the show.
I guess so.
Yes.
My sister, she's 3 years younger than I am, and she always used to talk about her past lives when she was little. And she said she was Christopher Columbus's parent.
How about that? Okay. Christopher Columbus's parents.
Yeah.
That's different.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one before. That would be very interesting. Again, she's older now, right? So she could have a regression and find out more. And then it wouldn't be a matter of debate of what she said when she was a little girl, because maybe she was embellishing, or maybe she was remembering a little bit of a past life and Columbus was around there, but she made it herself into the parents.
Parrot. Her parrot.
Oh, parrot. I thought you said
parrot. Bird?
Yeah, parrot. No, unlikely that one. Unlikely.
That didn't work.
No. I thought you said parent. That could work, but a parrot, most likely not. But she was a child, so, you know, she could still have a regression and find out more. Maybe she has a connection to Spain of that period or to the New World. Who knows?
Do all souls reincarnate?
I think so, until they reach the point where they don't need to, or they can come back voluntarily to reincarnate to help other people to graduate. But until you graduate, you have to keep coming back.
Okay, let's go next to Casey in South Carolina, east of the Rockies. Hi, Case. Go ahead.
Good evening. I'm going to beg y'all's forbearance here because I haven't spoken of this anywhere outside my confessor's office. I remember in advance, okay? I can't talk anything about previous lives or anything like that. Apparently, I've done it since very early childhood, according to a story that my mother tells that I won't bore you with, but I don't want it. You know, I don't want to do this. I don't want to. I don't want it.
What do you do?
Okay. I will have dreams that are very distinct. They're very different, and I always know the difference between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And then in a matter of days to weeks to months, sometimes years, I'll be living my life, and all of a sudden, I'll start remembering what people say before they say it, or the end of a new movie before I see it. And it's like a second lag. It's almost like if you had two soundtracks and they were playing a second behind each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it, more often than not, portends something unpleasant or some kind of tragedy in my family or in my personal life.
Yeah.
And then there's some that are just purely ubiquitous, neither good nor bad.
Right.
I have my own empirical experiment going on right now, which I won't have the answer to till I'm dead. So, I mean, not that that's for anybody else but me. But I don't want it. I want it to stop. I do not want to live this way. You know, I always, people who think about or who talk about it being so great, I'm thinking, hello, they can't possibly be real about it because it's pretty awful, actually. I hate it.
Well, I've seen that a bit, and I've had people come to me because your ability is what we were talking about earlier. It's the precognitive ability. People who have dreams of the future and then it comes about. But frequently people don't like it because they're seeing illnesses or deaths or tragedies or car accidents or things like that, and they don't want to see that in advance. And what we were talking about earlier is that your seeing it doesn't cause it. It's just like early detection, early warning. So that if you see an accident happening, there are things you can do about it because the future is not exactly fixed. I remember once a woman, and she described it very much like you do, coming to see me because she was so upset. The things she dreamt about, would dream about, would often come true, and they were always negative events. And she saw a very serious car accident where her son was involved. And she really didn't want that to happen. And she saw that her son, who was only about 20, had white hair, and that it was very serious, possibly fatal, but she wasn't quite sure about that, but she knew it was a serious accident. And she asked, what can I do? This always happens, it comes true. And I said, well, I threw the kitchen sink in, pray, talk to your son, tell him not to drive, drunk or too fast or recklessly, send him light, do all of these things. And she did all of these things and talked to her son about her premonition and dreams and driving really carefully, and the accident happened anyway, except that it was milder. He had a head injury where his head hair needed to be shaved, but he was okay. Broke a clavicle, a collarbone, and had a fractured ankle, but that was it. Wasn't lethal, and he did fine. When his hair grew back, it was white, just as she had seen it, I guess from the trauma of the event. But she wanted to know how to turn off that facility, and you can't. You can't turn it off, but you can make the best of it by understanding that it's just early warning. That's all.
Okay, you got to get a little water by yourself.
I know, though, getting dry.
Makes it easy for you. Let's go to Johnny in St. Louis. Welcome to the show. Hi, Johnny. There he is. Go ahead, John.
Yes. Hi, George. I wanted to ask, and I really want to thank Dr. Weiss for his groundbreaking work. It's such an auspicious time, 2012. I've been watching a series of videos. There's three videos on YouTube called Changes on the Horizon, and it talks about the spirit of Saint Germain, that he, and I don't know if you've heard of this, but he was Christopher Columbus, he was Francis Bacon, he was Roger Bacon, he was Plato, he was Samuel in the Bible. It's amazing how this one spirit has guided our current human history, and how one spirit can change, how one person can change the whole world, the power of one spirit, one soul, focused on an intent. And I believe you're that kind of person, Dr. Weiss, and I know that George is that kind of person. So I was wondering if you might comment on that.
I don't know. I think George is certainly teaching at this level. We talked about that. I'm just trying, without counting numbers, to help people, to reach people, to help them to understand, to feel better. My help with grief, those kinds of things. Saint Germain, masters, angels, spiritual figures, all the same purpose of educating, teaching, helping, reaching out. You're doing that too. It's important not to count numbers. If you help one person, 10, 10,000, 10 million, it's the same thing. It's the act of helping and doing and reaching out with compassion. So what you're saying, it's very important.
Brian, we're going to come back and take final phone calls with you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, Bill McDonald joins us talking about some incredible Earth mysteries, including, of course, the Loch Ness Monster. And when we come back with Dr. Brian Weiss, we will take your stories and final calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, Brian Weiss with us here as we wrap it up this final half hour. Brian, there's got to be some order up there wherever these souls congregate, because, somebody's got to send them back down to these physical bodies. And without order, what would stop 10 souls from trying to enter one body or something at the same time? How does that happen? I know it's all speculation, but who's responsible for this?
Well, it seems that there are hierarchies of order, and whatever names you want to use in these hierarchies, people call angels, masters, guides, guardians. There seem to be loving spiritual beings who direct the whole thing.
But you agree that there needs to be some direction.
Oh, absolutely, or else it would be chaos. And it's not chaos. It's actually very peaceful and very loving. And this Earth school, this is the hard place, because here we have bodies, so we have loss, death, illness, disease. This is a difficult place. The other side, it's easier. learning goes on in a different way. It's not in a physical body. Here it's hard. So the earth is a very popular school. We can progress along our spiritual path in a very accelerated way here because it's a difficult school. But on the other side, there's order. There's like a hierarchy of wise beings. The whole thing is directed, and that's why it works so smoothly.
Do you remember the old musical Carousel?
Yes.
Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Sure.
I remember the opening where, you know, old Billy Bigelow was up there with the guy who was putting up stars and cleaning them and things right. like that. And, you know, they sent him back down to try again, basically.
Right.
It's probably a little like that.
It is. These concepts of reincarnation or past lives, this has been around since ancient, ancient times in all cultures, in all traditions. And so we see this in plays and movies and musicals and stories and novels and magazines everywhere because the concepts are so ancient. All of nature, Rousseau wrote, and Voltaire wrote, is resurrection, is coming back. And the seasons represent the same thing. Leaves fall off the trees, but in the spring they come back again, the next generation of leaves. And that's the cycle of nature. And so it just makes sense in some way that we follow this same sort of cycle.
Okay, back we go. Makira's with us in Seattle, Washington. I'm Makira.
Hi.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Thank you. I want to thank you both for being here at this time on this planet. And I had my own personal validation for a past life, and it kind of interreacted with time travel and reincarnation. I had, in 72, a person put me into hypnotism, and I did out-of-body, and went to the past life and related to him, and he wrote it down for me. Mm-hmm. I was able to go to about the age 30 in that life. 10 years later, a young woman approached me on Capitol Hill and said that her guides had told her to come and give me a reading. I invited her to the house the next day, and she sat across from me and put a crystal between us. Lo and behold, she recapped that past life and finished it for me. Mm-hmm. And it was very intriguing past life, told me about two other ones. And then about 10 years after that, 92, my granddaughter, as I was doing a water meditation in the bathtub, she started singing a song to me. And it brought me, you know, back to reality, so to speak, closer and closer. And I asked her, I said, what does that mean? And she put her hand on her cheek and she said, well, that's the time after you die before you're born again when you're in school. And I said, what? Well, I wrote those words down. Just a few years ago, I was on the internet, and I was running across some of the Sumerian ancient translations of some text, and those words that she sang were in there, and they meant exactly what she said.
Mm.
And I was pretty amazed. And that, to me,
that is amazing.
Yes, out of the mouth of babes.
Yes, yes.
What has been for you, Brian, really the most compelling thing outside of Catherine the very first that has just basically startled even you?
Well, there was a woman, a very a professional woman, very, very bright, very well known. She came to one of our longer professional trainings and in Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York. And she had a severe back injuries from cancer and radiation and surgeries, chemotherapy, with structural damage measured on radiographic tests and MRIs, CAT scans. And she took one look at the chairs there and said, I won't be able to last a week. But she stuck it out. And the second day she had this incredible regression to 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. And she was a man in that lifetime and was tending to a wounded bird, fixing a wing. And as some Roman centurions came along, and I guess he blocked the path of them or something happened. They kicked him savagely in the back, broke his back, burnt down his house with his wife and child in it. And he became very bitter in that lifetime, living around the temple, hearing about itinerant rabbi named Yeshua and following him. And eventually, there was a tremendous healing in that lifetime of the back of this man. And what was fascinating to me was 2,000 years later in Rhinebeck, New York, this woman's back healed almost instantly. And you could say, well, that's interesting, but you've had other cases similar. But what she did, she went back, she stopped taking her medications. She was taking pain medications for 17 years from this cancer and the back-induced injuries. She stopped taking her medicine. The doctor and pharmacist became alarmed. They saw her. They redid the test. She was regenerating tissue, bones. The lesions were disappearing. And her hair, she was in her 60s at that time, which had been colored dark, but was gray.
Mm-hmm. Underneath.
Her hair started growing in dark again. And that was a profound physiological change that astounded even her hairdresser. And that kind of case, when it happens like that with the physical healings and the emotional healings, and to watch her joy that she's able to dance again after all those years of pain and disability, that she was regenerating tissue and hair growing back as if she were a younger woman, dark again, that's a remarkable case for me. So every time I come across one like that, that's another miracle to me.
They're all miracles, aren't
they? Yeah, really. They are. They're just so dramatic and uplifting and life-transforming that they're all miracles. The whole thing is a miracle, that we're here and that we're souls. You can call those miracles, too.
Michelle is in Los Angeles and on the air now. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, George. Hi, Dr. Weiss.
Hi, Michelle.
My question, in 2002, I was diagnosed with bipolar anxiety and depression. And because of that, I'm not able to work. And I've been on several meds over the years. And at this point, I'm like really frustrated with my life. So I guess what I'm trying to say, my question is, do you think that having a past life regression would help or possibly even like take away some of the depression or even the bipolar?
We've done quite a bit of work with depression and with bipolar, and we find that you don't stop taking your medicines right away.
Gradual.
Yeah, you can do the techniques. Sometimes it brings about positive change, gradual, and that's a very important concept. Gradual. And along the way, you're learning other skills and techniques just to go into deeper states of relaxation. You're putting yourself into a more stress-free type of internal environment. You're not secreting so many possibly harmful chemicals. You're going to have more equilibrium, more equanimity, too, just by meditating and going into deeper states. And then when the memories come, it may explain things to you. But you would do that in addition to the other treatments, and then see how you do. And if you feel better, then you can make other adjustments. But in the beginning, you wouldn't change anything with medicines. You just start doing the regression, and then see where you go.
Sean is truck driving in Florida. Hey, Sean, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, George, how are you?
Good, Sean.
I'm glad to be on once again.
Super.
Hey, when I was about, I want to say 4 or 5 years old. I was not in school yet at the time. I don't quite remember. But anyhow, I had a dream, or more like a lucid dream, where I was a tap dancer on a stage. You know, I had the colored lights, all that good stuff, the crowd, the whole nine yards, you know. And I was sitting, my current self was sitting up in the bleachers, not the bleachers, the rafters or whatever, looking down on the stage. And I said, hey, that's me. You know, and that experience right there, ever since then, you know, I kind of always knew that there had to be something more, you know.
Yeah.
I had a couple of OBEs and all that other good stuff. I even woke up floating over my bed, you know, all that good stuff when I was younger. I wish I had all those powers back now, I'll tell you that. But I just wanted to share that story because it was kind of interesting to me, because I just knew in my heart, here I am, like I said, 4 or 5 years old, And I know in my heart that was myself.
Right. There's the power of experience. Once you have these experiences, you know that there's more to it. So to have an out-of-body experience or a lucid dream like you had, to see yourself maybe from another lifetime and know that that's you, this sort of shows you very clearly that there is more to it. So thank you for sharing your experiences.
What have you meant by souls split, Brian?
Well, that perhaps souls shouldn't be limited by the usual way that we limit the human body. That and this comes also from the Seth material and what Jane Roberts wrote about some years ago, is that a soul could maybe be projected into more than one body at the same time. So, for example, there might be, we'll take you, George, it might be a George Nuri moiety or portion of a soul in a person in Germany or Italy and one here, you, and this would be your family of souls, like an oversoul.
I want the whole soul back.
Yeah. You have the whole soul in you, but there might be, you know, like from your family of souls. That's what. So I don't even know the best image for saying this, but like an oversoul could split into a dozen emanations, and they would all be part of the oversoul, but they would all be connected to each other as well. But I think if you think of it separately, that's fine too. Just know that all is energy and all is connected. So you have your own soul, and it's in George right now.
Let's go to Duluth, Georgia, east of the Rockies. James is up. Hey, James, go ahead.
Hey, George, Dr. Weiss. I think, Dr. Weiss, you just answered my question, which was about the soul family. A lot of people, reincarnationists believe.
Yeah.
The soul, you have interactions in this lifetime as you had with other people in another lifetime, and it was just different, you know, a different person, so to speak, but it was just, you know, same soul. So I guess you just answered that question. And, you know, I guess to go along with that, do you think some souls are ushered in specifically at certain times in history to usher, you know, they reincarnate to usher in a new, you know, a new era or something like that?
I do. I think that certain souls, advanced souls, teachers, not only usher in new eras, but they also help all of the other souls to progress. They help all of humankind. So souls can come back voluntarily that way to help in with these profound changes and earth changes and all of this. Yes, I agree. And as you were talking about earlier, families of souls hanging together, reincarnating together, it's one reason, and I know it's difficult, but it's one reason not to grieve so much, because we're always going to be reunited, either on the other side or back here. We're
not easy, though. Easier said, Brian. You know that.
No, it's not easy. It's very difficult.
Look, I haven't asked you where you get your book, Miracles Happen.
Oh, thank you. Any bookstore, Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
You've got them all out
there. Wherever. It's published by HarperCollins, so they do a very good job of getting it into all book-selling venues.
Next up, we go to Jeff in Sacramento, California. Jeffrey, go ahead.
Oh, thank you very much, George.
You are great welcome.
I've got a question for Dr. Weiss that it's perplexed me for a while, but I wanted to ask your guest if he had ever regressed or hypnotized anyone that was a paranoid schizophrenic that complained of evil voices in their head. And my theory on it being that perhaps there are some souls that that had done such bad things in their past lives that they weren't allowed to incarnate, and so they try to invade another personality to have a physical existence.
What do you think of that, Brian?
Yeah, complex question. Because as a psychiatrist, I would, of course, be very familiar with schizophrenia and paranoid schizophrenia. And I've noticed that in some cases of people who are very psychic, they may hear voices too, but it's not the same thing. They're not threatening, they're not paranoid, they're not punitive. So I don't think that it's souls trying to get through in the case of a schizophrenic person. I think that's just part of the illness, and that paranoia, those delusions are there. And, you know, blessings to people who work with and try to help the schizophrenic population. There is a psychiatrist in Texas who's beginning to do research with schizophrenics and past life regression.
Who's that?
I don't know how public he is with it yet.
Ah, okay.
But he is beginning to. I mean, we're communicating. His name is Jack, and he's not just a brilliant guy, but a big-hearted guy, very, very kind person, very, very bright. And he's doing careful studies with inpatient schizophrenics. They're hospitalized, so he's really treating it carefully, and he's in very good control. But I've been more reluctant to do past life regressions with schizophrenia because of boundary, you know, diffusion and things like that.
Yeah, and you never know what is what.
Exactly. So I'm working more with the run-of-the-mill, everyday neurotics and phobic people and people with psychosomatic illnesses, as we've talked about, pain and asthma and allergies and all of the cases we've been discussing tonight. But at least the research is beginning with schizophrenia in a careful way.
All right, Brian, I want to thank you for being on a program. Always a good guest, my friend.
Oh, thank you. It's such a pleasure. And thank you, George, for this opportunity to teach with you.
Dr. Brian Weiss, Miracles Happen. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasour, Stephanie Smith, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.